Good morning, this is Frank Settapani, sitting in for Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup.
No pain, no discomfort, and it's just a pumping like everything.
It is his mechanical heart, and he is William Schrader, speaking in an interview taped with the man who gave him a new lease on life, the surgeon Dr. William DeVries. Speaking, Schrader is like a man of 52 with a lot to live for.
My goals is just to be the same way as I was when I was 40 years old. I really do. I really feel like that I can get out here and go fishing, watch ball games, and...
Before you had this hospital operation, you know, you had the artificial heart. What'd you feel like?
Oh, I just could barely make it in and out of the house.
Mm-hmm. What does all this, you know, what does all this mean to you? What do you think? What does this mean to you?
When I came in here, I had about 40 days to live. And I know it because I was getting weaker, weaker, and weaker, and weaker. Since this operation, I feel like I got 10 years going right now.
Well, we hope you do.
Well, I already did.
William Schrader in conversation with his doctor in a tape provided by the Humana Hospital Audubon in Louisville. They call it the city that works, but some aren't working this morning and school is out. Karen Stone has the Chicago story.
Chicago's 28,000 teachers are being joined by 18,000 other school employees on the picket lines. Teacher union leaders say they could not accept contract proposals involving salaries, medical benefits, and the length of the school year. But union president Jackie Vaughn said the teachers are anxious to reach an agreement.
We will be on the picket line, but we will be watching and waiting for a true, meaningful offer from the Board of Education negotiators.
This is the second time in 15 months that Chicago teachers have gone on strike. Last October, the system was shut down for 15 days. This year, the teachers started the school year without a contract. But the Board of Education says it is facing a $40 million deficit and can't afford the teachers' demands. Around the city, some temporary classrooms were being set up during the weekend at public libraries and other community centers. But for the 430,000 students in the system, any lost days due to the strike will likely have to be made up with a longer school year. Karen Stone, CBS News, Chicago.
Cyanide gas leaking from a Union Carbide pesticide plant in India has claimed 269 lives, and the death toll will likely climb. This is Mark Tully of the BBC in New Delhi, some 360 miles from the scene of the tragedy.
The unprecedented leak was so heavy that safety equipment could not neutralize it before it escaped into the atmosphere. The gas traveled between 40 and 50 kilometers. People living in its path first felt the effects of gas poisoning early in the morning. Panic spread and thousands started fleeing their homes. The hospitals in Bhopal have been overwhelmed by patients numbering at least 10,000 suffering from nausea, giddiness and pains in the eyes and the chest. Doctors fear that the death toll could rise to 600, and that figure does not include those who may have died in their houses or while fleeing. The streets in the city of Bhopal are littered with the carcasses of buffaloes, cows, dogs, and birds. The governor of the state has appealed for calm.
It was almost a decade ago that the High Court decided the ultimate penalty need not necessarily be cruel and unusual punishment. Now it's a question of how, and Fred Graham tells why.
This bizarre chapter in the ongoing legal struggle over the death penalty began when condemned men in Texas and Oklahoma brought suit to challenge the use of lethal injections to carry out the death sentence. The Court of Appeals in Washington agreed with the convicts that this is a new use for the drugs and that under federal regulations they cannot be used for executions until the Food and Drug Administration conducts studies and certifies that the drugs are safe and effective for this purpose. The drugs are supposed to render the convicts unconscious and then stop their heartbeat and breathing. But the court said nobody's really checked to be sure that the condemned people aren't conscious and in pain as they're being asphyxiated. The Supreme Court has hinted that it will rule differently. It has stayed the enforcement of the decision until it rules on the case, and in the meantime, four persons have been put to death by lethal injections. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
President Reagan begins a second week of budget meetings under growing pressure to slow defense spending growth. John Ferrugia reports from the White House.
President Reagan and his budget advisors are finding it increasingly difficult to reduce the ballooning deficit while keeping his campaign promises. Mr. Reagan has vowed to continue his multi-billion dollar defense buildup, but the administration also wants to reduce the deficit by $45 billion next year. To achieve that, the president's senior advisors and key Republican senators like Finance Chairman Robert Packwood say that defense must be cut.
I don't think we can get the votes to make other cuts unless we include defense, because some people will say if defense isn't going to take their lumps, then none of these other programs are either.
But Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger isn't willing to accept less funding. So this week, Mr. Reagan will have to begin to resolve the conflict between Weinberger and others in his cabinet who feel the Defense Department must get less. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
At the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, it looks like two more years of the Tip and Bob show. The Senate elected its leaders for the new Congress last week. Today, the House gets its turn. And here's Neil Strother.
Out of the caucuses will come the same leaders, Thomas Tip O'Neill for the Democrats, Bob Michael for the Republicans, but there may be a more conservative look. Republicans with 14 more seats are likely to hear more, at least, from their strident new right. And Democrats, reading the election returns, may be sliding rightward in a bid to appeal to the middle class. Speaker O'Neill conceded as much when he agreed to give a greater voice to the so-called boll weevils, Southern conservatives in his own party.
I read the Congress, the liberals have slipped to progressives, and progressives have slipped to moderates, and moderates have slipped to conservatives, and America is moving to the center. And they should have a voice at the Democratic table.
O'Neill's concession apparently headed off a challenge for the speakership by the boll weevils' leader, Charles Stenholm. But the mere fact there was talk of a challenge points up another change in the next Congress. O'Neill has announced he's retiring in 2 years. He, like Ronald Reagan, is a lame duck, with all that implies in terms of fading power and discipline. Neil Strasser, CBS News, Washington.
They're going to the polls in Grenada today for the first time since a coup upended the last elected government there. It's also the first election since the U.S. invasion last year. Shipping sources in the Persian Gulf say a Cypriot flag oil tanker has been hit, apparently by Iraqi jet fire. That attack took place south of the Iranian oil terminal at Karg Island. The dollar is moving quietly higher in the European money markets. Dealers say demand is strong because traders expect and suspect that higher U.S. interest rates will provide for a stronger dollar. Gold was fixed at $327.70 in London this morning, down from $328.50 at the opening. It's 10 minutes past the hour.